So then we'd end up with one sugya before Pesach. Let's see if we can get through the whole thing. I'd like to focus more on the Gemara side of things, but we'll do a little practical halacha if we have time. And I think I mentioned it when I did the Harosa stuff, which is the idea of the Shnei Tavshilin. Okay, so remember, you have the Seder plate, right? So we have on it matzah, okay? We've already made enough jokes about matzah, soft matzah, that's done. Mar, that's its own sugya. We did Harosa already. Now let's talk about the two Tavshilin, okay? So I know everyone today, I'd say like 99% of the world today does, or 90%, like 90% of people do.
Someone's on their way.
Okay, so what most people do is, what do? They do the egg and the shank bone, right? Does anyone here not do the egg, other than myself, anyone here not do the egg and shank bone?
You mean having it on the Seder plate?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it says on the Seder plate, this is the spot for right, the right. egg, so of course you
And if the Seder plate says so, you have to listen to the Seder plate, right? But it's interesting, so like I always say, it's important to go back to the Gemara, because this is where the stuff is founded in, see from what the Gemara says about it, and then if we have time, we can understand how things evolved a bit. Okay.
Well, I didn't even know that the egg was what it
You'll get the egg is not something that's the egg comes up later on. It's not the Gemara, the egg. Okay. But you'll be very surprised how the Gemara tackles this. Okay. All right. So let's start with you're gonna read since you're here.
I'll do my best. I promise.
All we ever expect is the best. All right, take a look at the Mishnah. Okay. I bracket it off. See the Mishnah? Okay. So we did this Mishnah already. We did this by Harosas. So now we're going to do the same thing by, make sure you're in the right. You are, yeah. You know, you are. See the bracket on the bottom?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So what does the Mishnah say? Hevi lefanav, that's you.
Hevi lefanav matzah, the chazeret, the haroset, ushnei,
tavshilin. Okay, good. Now, what does tavshilin mean?
I just know Erev Tavshilin.
Oh, okay. No. Let's take that, though. What's Erev Tavshilin?
That you have cooked items when you have Shabbat going after
Yantiv, right?
So that you can prepare
exactly.
for Shabbat.
It's called Erev Tavshilin because you've cooked. You have these things that are cooked, and you're using the cooked things to cook more things off of. It's like you started your meal with those two cooked things. Uh-huh. So here it literally means two cooked things. Notice there's no mention of roasting. The Mishnah never tells you what kinds of food, right? It just says two cooked things. So if we just had the Mishnah. You have to remember, in the times of the Mishnayos, when they were written down and prior, what was the function of a Mishnah? It's important to understand. What do you think a Mishnah is for?
Just like for explanation, to elaborate on things of the Gemara that...
No, that's what the Gemara does. The Gemara elaborates on the Mishnah.
Oh, fine.
Right. No, Mishnayos were, I know it's going to sound crazy, were methods of psak. In other words, people needed to know what to do, right? So Mishnayos are, okay, well, if this Mishnah tells you, what do you bring on your Seder plate? These things. So people would know that. This was halacha. So shnei tavshilin. The Gemara is going to come along and flesh out, what do we mean by two cooked things? But right now, all the Mishnah tells us is two cooked things in a Seder plate. Okay? No tricks here. Okay. Now turn the page over. Okay? It's not that much Gemara. It's going to look like it's long, but it's not that bad. Okay? So Gemara has a great question. You're up.
The bracket.
Yep.
Na'i shnei
tavshilin. Okay, stop. So that's a question. What is... Shnei tavshilin. What are these two tavshilin? Meaning, what are we talking about when we say two cooked things? Okay? So check this out. Amarafuna. Tough words.
Silka.
Silka.
The
Ruza.
Ruza.
Okay, now, Aruza you should know. What's Aruza? Orez.
Oh.
Yeah. Switch the...
We get to eat rice.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, let's ignore the kidneyous aspect of this, okay? Anyone know what silka is, by the way? Okay, which would be what?
That's what it reminded me of, a beet.
Beets, very good, beets. Awesome, good job.
So all right. Really with a cup at the end.
What? Yeah.
Silka.
All right, so Rafuna is the first Amora mentioned here, and what does he say you bring onto the table? What are your two cooked dishes? Beets and rice. Uh-huh. Do you see any mention of eggs or meat or anything like that? No, beets and rice, okay.
Which,
Can I ask a really silly
No, I'm thinking like the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud
Yerushalmi.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything different.
Okay, fine.
Okay. All right, now look at the next case, okay? So we're talking about the two cooked things you put on your Seder. So all the Mishnah tells us is two cooked things. It doesn't tell us anything specific. So the Gemara is not...
We do eggs and potatoes, we don't do anything else.
Right, you do eggs and shank bone, right?
Which the case is. Like, right before Shulchan Aruch, everyone eats an egg in our family. I don't know why.
All right, but what's on your Ka'ara? What's on your Seder plate?
Oh.
Someone mentioned the Seder plate says egg.
No, and I think you're saying everything.
Yeah, else. Maxwell right. House it does. Right. On the Zroa, I do a burnt chicken wing.
A burnt chicken wing, okay.
And on Karpas.
No, not Karpas. What about the other thing? This should be for the Chagiga. There's something like an egg.
You only have one. Yeah, burnt an egg.
Yeah, right. So you have a burnt egg and a burnt chicken wing correct. On your. Okay,
what
good.
What do you mean you burn an egg, though?
I'll show you how.
You boil it. You have
no,
to.
Put
it.
You roast it. Right, you'll
actually
see why.
I do it over an open fire, which makes right. the biggest mess on
and the
earth.
The shear right. has to be.
After I've just cleaned the whole thing.
Right. Actually, that's the shear. Yeah. That once you cleaned
everything, I've just cleaned
the
thing.
You put it on the oven on a high fire.
I never even thought of it. I don't know why. We just like seeing the fire.
So you'll see how this evolved. You'll see it evolved, okay? But right now, the first position of the Gemara is...
So I'm supposed to roast it?
Well, hold on. We don't know anything yet. Don't worry about what we're supposed
okay,
to. Remember, ignore your preconceived notions. Let's pretend we're learning the law for the first time. So the first sheet of the Gemara says you have to bring out rice and beets. Okay, obviously what he means is that does it really matter what you're bringing out? It doesn't mean bedafka, rice and beets.
I think it means rice.
No.
right?
Meaning a mazono and a vegetable, maybe.
Well, that's nice you're thinking rice is mazonos, but it really just means two cooked foods. That's it. Two cooked foods. That's all you need on your Seder plate, two cooked foods. That's sheet number one. Keep going. Rava.
Oh. One second. Rava.
Well, actually, I'll make it easier for you. Skip down to what it called. Skip down to where it says Chizkia, okay? Because that all gets into what rice is. I told you it's not that much Gemara. See where it says Chizkia? It's like six
where
lines down.
Pointing?
Right over there, Chizkia. Because the Gemara is going to take up.
Okay.
I'll just let you know what you're skipping over. A corner one sheet in the Gemara, okay? This is, so for all those anti-kitneous people, a corner one sheet in the Gemara, matzah, one of the five grains, which would mean the sixth grain, was actually rice. So he actually held that you can, that on Pesach, rice matzah is, you could fill your d'oraisa, and therefore rice would be considered like chametz. So I'm just letting you know, one of the sources for kitneous goes back to Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri's position to say rice is considered one of the, in this case, would be six grains. Okay. Now, by the way, in his defense, we don't possibly like him. In his defense, if you hold that grains evolve in the sense that whatever we relate to as grains become grains, then you can understand his position. It's not a crazy position. For instance, take right. In other words, things that you relate to as grains. If there are things that we make bread out of that are not necessarily one of the five grains, you can see a good argument for why that would be considered a grain. In other words, meaning, is a grain a fixed species or is it a social thing? Meaning, if let's say in Chashmonim, the custom is to have lots of apple bread.
Is quinoa a seed?
Quinoa is, yeah.
What?
She's the expert.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but we don't paskin like that. We paskin the five grains are fixed, right? And rice is only an issue of kidneys.
The criterion is if it's machmitz.
Correct, but you can machmitz almost.
But they say the only thing about rice that it's just masriach and it's not.
Right, but it seems like they seem to make some type of rice cake bread type thing in the days of the Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
Checked in the fourth paragraph of Psachim. There's a case of they used to mafresh. They used to separate. It was a minhag. They used to separate challah from rice dough, mm-hmm. implying that they would actually make this rice bread. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was like puffy, but it was definitely fermented. Let's put it that way. Okay.
Is rice indigenous? I always found it weird to read about rice in the Mishnah. Is rice indigenous to this area of the world?
That's a great question. I don't know. I always, when I ever think of rice, I think of like China, Vietnam.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I don't know.
From merchants.
Right. All right. And I know you're gonna go look up now what Oriz means, right? You're gonna see if in the Gemara Oriz is in. I know. We just post treated as rice. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So now look at Chizkiya.
Chizkiya Amar.
Right.
I don't know what that
is. Afilu.
Afilu dag. Ubeitza.
She'alav. Literally what that means is that I can even bring out a fish, right, with egg on it. So what's the difference? Just we're not even explaining anything in depth. Rav Huna holds I have to bring, like let's say, like in a little bowl rice and a little bowl beets.
Uh-huh.
According to Chizkiya, says no, I can have one on top of the other.
Oh.
Okay, so in today's world... Right, I always think of, you know what I think of, you know, just only because you got me the wedding thinking. Like, you know how they serve at weddings, those awesome, like, pastries with the mushroom stuff inside? You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
Yeah, right? So it's a similar kind of thing. Like, you don't have to have pastry and mushroom. Yeah. Like, pastry thing with the mushrooms inside. That's sheet number two. Okay? Keep going.
Rav Yosef Amar, Tzarich, Shenei, Minei, Basar Achad.
Zecher.
Zecher, Pesach. Is that a filo or
something? No, Be'achad.
Be'achad, Zechar.
Now think about how astonishing that is, okay? The Gemara waits until the third position to announce that according to Rav Yosef, what do you require on your Seder plate for the two tefillin?
Something to remind you of the
Pesach
and
of the Chagiga, but specifically what?
Korbanot.
But today you can't bring korbanot, so what would you put on your Seder plate? Meat.
Something similar.
right? Two pieces of meat, right? Now, isn't it amazing how the Gemara waits until now to tell you that this is Zecher LePesach and Zecher LeChagiga, okay? And if I asked you right now, if you were going to do something symbolic for the Korbanot, wouldn't you always choose two pieces of meat, right? So why would you ever assume you need rice? Why would you ever assume your Yotze with rice and beets or this fish egg thing? Why not just say two pieces of meat? It seems the most reasonable position, right? One more position. Ravina.
Ravina mar afilu garma.
Ubishula. Okay. So I'm cheating. I'm reading the Rashbam into this. It's okay. You know, what those are basically is that it'd be like, let's say I cooked like temani meat soup, right? You know, like they have like the bones and in that soup. So imagine I have like the meat bone thingy and the broth, okay? Which is different than dag ubeitza. In other words, dag ubeitza is two foods that are combined together. This is, it's like the meat plus the broth stuff that comes off of it would be considered two tashiyum, okay? So we have a very odd Gemara here because the Gemara gives us four distinct possibilities for what your shnei tashiyum are, right? And if I asked you which one is really the zecher, the korban pesach, korban chagiga, it'd be two pieces of meat. So why would you ever think that rice and beets are okay? Okay? We need one more clue, and then we can start explaining this. Take a look. I bracketed off on the right-hand side, Tosfos. It says, Silko ve'aruza. You see that?
Yeah.
So he says, v'kol shekein shnei mine basar. What does that mean? It means, and of course, he wasn't saying I can only use rice and beets. So of course I can use two pieces of meat. Meaning, the minimum shear, the minimum obligation is to have two cooked things. But of course, if I wanted to, I could use two cooked pieces of meat. Rav Yosef's the one who's saying, no, it has to be two bedavka, two pieces of meat. Okay? What kind of argument is this? I ask. What are they arguing about? It's a strange argument.
Minimum requirement of what to put on the plate.
Okay, so then why would Rav Yosef disagree? Why does he bedavka say it's got to be two pieces of meat? And let me ask you a more basic question, okay? The more fundamental question.
I don't have two pieces of meat on my Seder plate.
You have a piece of meat and an egg.
Yeah.
Right. But okay, but let's forget the egg. Don't worry about the egg. The egg doesn't exist. Remember, there's no egg, okay? There was an egg shortage back then. We're only dealing with what the Gemara tells us. But if I asked you, in other words, the Mishnah says Shnei Tavshilin, okay? So clearly, you can't say that Rav Huna disagrees that the purpose of the Shnei Tavshilin isn't to remember the Korban Pesach and Korban Chagiga. That's absurd. Of course, he's going to have to maintain that be true. He's just saying you can fulfill that obligation through two cooked vegetables, okay? But the question is why? Why is that the case? If you had a choice between two cooked vegetables or two pieces of meat, why wouldn't you go with the pieces of meat? Or, I'll rephrase the question one more way, what's the significance? This is the halakha question. What's the significance of having bedavka two cooked things on your Seder plate? Forget if they're meat or not. Why is the Mishnah telling us two cooked things, Zecher LePesach, Zecher LeChagiga?
Because they were cooked.
But why have them? Why have them at all? Why put on the Seder plate? In other words, if you're going to tell me Zecher LePesach and Chagiga, so have two pieces of meat. That should be the Shita. You understand? Why does Rav Huna suggest the possibility that two cooked things can mean two vegetables, two separate vegetables?
Why do you have to have it if you're having like the sandwich which is supposed to...
But that's at the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're talking about today. Let's say today.
Two cooked things make it a sudam chubelet.
Okay, now we're talking.
Like an
jackpot. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, you see now... Oh, very good.
So
you notice...
Of Shulchan Aruch.
Oh, we'll get that in a second. But that's very good because you see a lot of times in halacha you see like these little strings that attach the various halachic systems together. So Shnei Tavshilin should ring a certain familiarity. There's another area in halacha where Shnei Tavshilin applies. You cannot have two Tavshilin for your Sudam Afsekas, right? So before Tisha B'Av, okay, Midor Banan, you can only have one Tavshil. And there's all sorts of fun questions. For instance, is a lasagna considered one Tavshil? Well, it depends. Is it one tafshil or not? On the one end, you could say it is because it's one dish. On the other end, you could argue that, well, I have in there pasta and cheese. Let's forget, and tomato sauce, okay? So if I have pasta, cheese, and tomato sauce, maybe you can argue that cheese and pasta are two separate tafshilin. It's a big machlokas, okay? Very good. So, but what Valerie is saying is perfect. What a tafshil does is tafshil, in halacha, we treat cooked things as being chashav, as being very important. It raises a level of importance, right? So let's understand the quandary or the difficulty that the sages face. On the one hand, they want us to... You notice in the Haggadah, we saw this by Harosas, we saw this by the Afikoman and Korach. There's this very important a concept of remembering the Korban Pesach. Like throughout the Haggadah, there's always remembrances of the Korban Pesach. Shnei Tavshilim is another attempt to remember the Korban Pesach. But one way you could do it is to say, well, I'm going to elevate my meal. I'm going to include in my meal two, and here's the thing, two extra cooked things. You understand? In other words, think about today, Aviva. You probably have like an extensive, complex menu at your Seder, right? Right?
Not making it this year.
Okay, but if you did, if you did.
So funny, I barely wrote anything down for this year's Seder. I was thinking, right. You said you had to have a little hunger for the afikomen afterwards.
Right.
So we're stuffed. So I purposely like barely wrote anything so far.
No, but don't go the other end. You're supposed to have like a very good meal, you know? You should have a very,
have a good soup, right.
Right.
We easily boiled, we don't roast.
But if you think about it, but if you sit down around a menu, right? So what you're going to do is you're going to say, okay, I'm going to have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? If it's a long menu, right? So what the Chazal telling us is that in order to remember the Korban Pesach, you need to add to your menu two things that you normally wouldn't put there. You understand? That's the key thing. By having two cooked things that you normally wouldn't have, that makes
nobody
it important. It's true, but there's no reason why you shouldn't eat them. You know what I mean? They're not like kaddish.
No, I don't. If I would be buying, I would be getting like a shank bone, not a chicken wing.
Right.
It's hard to find.
Are they hard to find here? I got way.
When I was following whatever my in-laws did all these years, I have no idea.
How would you
I always got a shank bone.
Right.
There's nothing to eat on a shank bone.
Right. It's sad. Right. I hear that. But
shank bones, but can't get shank bones.
I don't know. It's not always easy to find.
Right.
That's when I use either a neck or a wing.
But Valerie, I think that's what you're saying, right? What I'm saying is that's what you meant, right? Mechuban. Yeah. In other words, by having two cooked things added to your meal, right? So that by definition is an important thing. In other words, what Chazal wants you to realize is that normally speaking, I wouldn't have that in my meal. I'd have whatever halacha requires me to and, matzah mara, and then whatever I'm serving for dinner. But by adding these two cooked things, that alone makes a difference, okay? But you have to understand, what are they struggling with? On the one end, they want us to remember the Korban Pesach, but what can't you do? This is the problem.
Have something that takes its place?
Exactly. We can't replicate the Korban Pesach. That's an Isser. Okay, you're not allowed to do that. So we're stuck. On the one end, we want to remember it in some way, but we can't actually duplicate what was done. So Rav Huna is very brilliant. Rav Huna says, bring in two extra cooked things. What you have automatically done is you've now elevated, you've included something in your meal, something important that wasn't there to begin with. That'll make you remember the Korban Pesach and Korban Chagiga. Nice and simple, okay? So obviously, Rav Yosef's counter to that's going to be what? He's not as, in other words, Rav Huna is saying, simplest thing to do is just by definition adding two cooked things to my meal that I wouldn't normally have, helps me remember it. What's Rav Yosef saying though? Why does Rav Yosef say it has to be two pieces of meat?
So more closely resembles the carbon?
Okay, good. In other words, what he wants is that he wants to make sure that when I see this on my plate, it directly leads me to think about the Korban Pesach, right? He's not as concerned about the idea of tafshil, of the thing being cooked, producing chashivas. He wants the substance to reflect that idea. Okay, so that's why you have two pieces of meat.
What was the Korban Chagiga?
So there are two.
Korban Pesach is like the Lent on the spit.
Right. So you also have to bring on every Yantav and every holiday, you must bring a Korban Chagiga as well.
Which is?
Meat. Not lamb.
Specific kind? Or?
What?
And how does it get to egg on symbolically?
We'll get to that. All right. Everyone's all fixated about the egg. You'll see why egg comes up, okay? It has nothing to do, by the way, with the Korban Chagiga. You'll see why. But what Yosef is saying is that rather than say the derech, the method of cooking, is what produces the chashivas, he wants it in the substance, meaning the meat is what produces the zecher.
So you're saying two different things. You're saying the last opinion was that they're sitting on the plate and we're looking at them as things and they smell something.
Right.
And the other thing you're telling me is because I'm adding things to my meal, I'm going to eat it. Right?
Well, no.
No.
Both of them agree you can eat it. Both of them agree you should eat it. It's just the question is that one side's saying that the very addition itself is what produces the zecher. The other one's saying, no, you can take this steak, this meat, this is the key point, you can take features of korban and duplicate them. You can't duplicate the korban itself, but you can take features of it. And what's one of the features of a korban? Meat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Meat. But now, think about it now. You should already get a sense of where the danger emerges. Because once Rav Yosef says that I can duplicate features of the korban, now you got to be very careful, because what can end up happening?
It could be exactly a korban.
So therefore, you can start thinking of why there's restrictions on doing what? Right. Roasting the meat, doing tzli becomes a question now. You understand? Rav Huna is the safest approach. Rav Huna is saying, forget the substance. The fact that I'm adding these two additional things to my meal, by definition, produces a zecher. But according to Rav Yosef, he's saying, no, we can duplicate characteristics. But once you duplicate characteristics, you have to be very careful. Be very careful because you don't want to go too far and now saying what? And saying that I'm having Korban Pesach. Okay?
The Machon HaMikdash Manishtana had the Manishtana question, another question about the kind of meat.
Okay.
There's another question about the way we always think shaluk, and now we only have
shaluk. Oh, right. That tonight we had tzli. Correct. Right. Okay. Yeah. Good. Okay. So how do I know this is the case, by the way?
Duplicating
the... Rav Yosef. Okay. Let's ignore the other, only because of time, we'll ignore the other two shitas. These are the two main positions. Okay. But watch where the danger emerges. So if you take a look at the second Tosfos, okay, where it says Shnei Minei Basar. See that? Mm-hmm. You're up.
Shnei Minei Basar.
Perish. Rabbeinu Chananel.
Thank you.
Okay. Rabbeinu Chananel, by the way. See this dude over here where my finger is? Okay. That's Rabbeinu Chananel. A Gaon. Hugely important commentary in Gemara and a posek. Okay. Yes, I know he's in very tiny letters. Okay. But he had a lot of influence in halacha. So Rabbeinu Chananel says what? Perish Rabbeinu Chananel.
Tzili zachar le
Pesach.
Pesach.
Mivushal.
God.
I know it's tough.
Mivushal zachar.
Lechagiga. Stop. So what did he hold? Brilliant. Rabbeinu Chananel said, what do you do? One piece of meat, you roast Zecher the Pesach, and one piece of meat, you cook Zecher the Chagiga. Again, because you should... yeah, just anything but... Well, cooking a lacha usually means using a liquid medium, okay? So it would mean like boiling it, okay? But not roasting it, okay? So notice what's Rabbeinu Chananel saying. He's saying, let's go even further. Not only do we use two pieces of meat, but what we'll do is we'll have one piece actually reflect the way the korban was done. So it's not just the substance is duplicated, but the method of how it was cooked is also duplicated. Whereas the other piece of meat, to differentiate the Pesach from the Chagiga, should be cooked. You see, don't you see now hints of the egg coming into the picture now? In other words, we don't want you to look at the two pieces of meat and say, oh, and
they're the same.
They're the same. You have to be able to recognize one as being Pesach and one as being Chagiga. So how do you do that? Roast one, cook the other.
Oh, so you did boil the egg.
Well, I didn't see anything about eggs yet.
Well, first you have to hard boil it.
Right. Let's not worry about the egg yet. Right now, all we have is our two pieces of meat. Okay. So keep going in Tosfos. He says, V'lo nihira.
V'lo nihira dekama.
Dekaimalan.
Dekaimalan. Lan.
Keben tema.
Tema.
Okay, so that means V'lo nihira. It doesn't appear, right? Because we hold like ben tema. Now, what does Ben Tema say? He's a position in the Gemara. Ben Tema says, De'ein.
Oh, I'm reading?
Yeah. You're doing well.
Yeah. De'ein magi.
Chagiga.
Chagiga na'ach lat ela.
Tzli. But we got a problem. If you're trying to remember the Pesach and the Chagiga, right? The Chagiga was eaten how? Roasted also. So to have one piece of meat roasted, which is remembering Korban Pesach, and the other one not roasted as your chagiga would be disingenuous. Right, exactly, right. You're messing it up. But look what he says. He says, fine, demasis and asha kavase. Okay? The kach nira, read that last line.
The kach nira did.
Travayo.
Travayo.
What does travayo mean?
I have no idea.
Okay, it's trey, right? Travayo trey, shne. Okay? Replace the tuf and rish with a shin and nud, and you get two. So
sure.
Travayo means shne. In other words, that rather the two, meaning the two pieces of meat.
Yeah.
Mivushalin. But so what does Tosfos say? Tosfos says, don't roast anything. Rather, what do? Two cooked pieces of meat. But 1 second. How does that produce my zecher? In other words, Rabbeinu Chananel sounded great. He said, roast one, Korban Pesach. Boil the other, right? Korban Chagiga. But Tosfos says, but that doesn't make any sense because the Korban Chagiga was roasted as well. Mm-hmm. So rather than say we should roast both pieces, what does Tosfos say? Boil both. Why? Why? What's the argument between him and Rabbeinu Chananel?
Well, then neither one looks like a korban. It doesn't make sense to say do one of them. I understand it doesn't make sense to say do one.
Both. Okay. So good. So Tosos is going to say don't roast anything. Because what's the problem with roasting? Looks like the korban pesa. Okay? So we don't want to mimic korbanos. So don't roast anything. Keep two cooked pieces of meat. What's Rabbeinu Chananel's response to that?
Am I supposed to keep reading?
No. This is where we have to think about it now. Okay. This is our brain part. In other words, Tosos is very good. Tosos says, roasting, If you start roasting your meat, you're duplicating the Korban Pesach. Substance is sufficient. The way you cook it, we can't duplicate that. That would be impossible.
But it's a tiny little thing. It's not like a whole Korban Pesach. So, it's, and you're not supposed to... Okay, I know you eat it, but if most people don't eat it, so then it's not a problem.
But still, the idea is if I see that, I shouldn't think it's Korban Pesach. Tosus is very good. He's playing it safe. What's Rabbeinu Hanan's response? He says, roast one, cook the other. Why does that? How does he answer Tosus's kasha? Tosus's kasha is a good kasha. He's saying, hey man, you can't roast things. You roast things, you're duplicating Korban Pesach. What's his response? So I'll tell you how. Okay. He's very subtle, right? But he's a shrewd guy, right? These guys are very smart. What he's going to say is like this. He's going to say that, of course he recognizes this as a problem of duplicating. But what am I doing here, right, by having the Pesach and the Chagiga and Bedavka not roasting the Chagiga? What is that? How does it get out of the problem Tosus is raising? Tosus is saying, we don't want to duplicate things, right? So don't roast anything. He says, no, it's okay. I'm not so worried about duplicating. Why?
Because I'm boiling the Chagiga.
So how does that get out of the problem?
It should be obvious. I'm obviously not duplicating the...
Okay, so I said you're on the right track, but you can go further than that. Let's get that more... I think we can get that even more precise. In other words, if I could differentiate one from the other, meaning if I have one that's A and one that's B, right? So I'm not worried that my... I shouldn't be worried about duplicating anymore. In other words, what's the concern of duplicating? Is it that I can't mimic any aspect of the way it was cooked? Or as long as I see in one of the two that it's lacking what was done back then... I'm not over the issue of duplicating.
That's a fine. You're assuming that people are being that observant. Because you know that they have to be Korban Zachar in both of them. Right?
I am. Of course I am. But I'm just saying, you can see how someone could say, oh, well, this can't be really a duplication because one of them's cooked. So since one of them is not roasted, mm-hmm. I know I'm not mimicking what was done on the base of Mikdash. Remember, I have two pieces of meat in front of me. If one of them is not like it was done back then I can't be duplicating. Where Sosa says, don't even walk into that door. Don't walk through that door. Rather, just say, two cooked things, period. Don't even mimic the way it was cooked. Now, it's subtle difference, but I don't think you have to be such a deep thinker to see that.
But you have to think, like, what are the memories that people are going to take away from you, right?
So okay.
If you're sitting at the table.
Right.
And say, okay, there's two pieces of meat on the table. And one of them is roasted, and it looks kind of like...
Are they going to even know how it was really cooked?
Oh, I say it or I do. That's a different question. What can I tell you? I look at the best in people, all right? I'm just saying, you could see the basis in halacha for why you'd say one or the other. You could say, we don't want to duplicate at all, right? So use the same substance, but cook it differently. Or do you say, no, as long as I know that I'm cooking one differently than the other, it can't be, it's an incomplete duplication. That won't be a problem.
Maybe if you do a wing specifically and not a shank bone, it's clearly not a Korban Pesach.
Yes, that is true. You mean if you use a substance that's not meat.
And everyone knows a wing is not from a...
Well, not just that, because it's chicken. That's what you're saying, because
yes.
It's chicken.
Right.
So, and chicken, you're right. I mean, chicken is not considered halachically basar, right? It's not meat. It's derabanan meat. It's not really deraisa meat. I hear that. You can say that, right? But then it's no different than using beets.
That's more substantial.
Why?
It's hashimut to it. It's a main course.
It's true. Okay. I'm just saying, but it's not meat, though. That's my point. No, I mean... I'm just saying, if you use
it's
chicken,
protein.
Right?
It's
protein.
Protein.
That's protein. That's for sure.
Right. The same
right.
smell, the same roasting experience.
Right. Right. Okay. So that's all we have. That's from the Gemara and the early Rishonim. Okay. Meaning that at this point, okay, yes, there's no mention of the egg. Okay. And it seems like at this point, if you left the Gemara, what's the ideal way to do it? Two pieces of meat. The only question is, do you roast one and cook the other, or just keep both of them cooked?
That's funny. I would always boil the egg. I would always roast the.
Shank bone. Oh, so let's see what happens. Let's see what happens in halacha, okay? Don't worry, the egg's going to be saved, okay? So take a look at source number one. I'm just going to read only to get through the sources. So look at source number one, the Rambam, okay? So if you look at where I underlined, the Rambam says, V'gufa shel keves, a pesach, u'basar chagigal shayom ba'asar, right? So in the times of the base of Mikdash, I would eat my korban pesach and my korban chagiga. U'vizman hazeh mevi'in al shulchan shnei minei basar. So it's clear from the Rambam that what do I bring in front of me? I bring in front of me two pieces of meat, one, and he doesn't even tell you how to make it. One zecher the Pesach, one zecher the Chagiga. Okay, good. Now, if you could take a look at number three, okay, so this now we're going back to the times of the Rishonim now. So we're talking about, I don't know, like the 1200s, 1300s. You start seeing the custom emerge of the egg. So this is the Meiri, and this is number three. And he says... And there are those who require two types of meat. echad zeich lepesach v'hutzli. Notice, one roasted piece of meat. V'echad zeich l'agiga v'hu mevushal. One boiled or whatever cooked piece of meat. V'lashem zeh paskul gedolei mechabrim. V'chein rai laso. So notice, that's the right way to do it. The best way to do it is two pieces of meat, one roasted, one boiled. But umikol makom, nonetheless. Now you got to understand that kind of language. Nonetheless means sigh. This is the way to do it. But nahagu ha'am. When they write nahagu ha'am, it means this isn't something that the rabbis, so to speak, created. It's something that people started doing. And what do? Nahagu ha'am bizroa. Right? Zroa is what's zroa?
That's the shingle.
Okay. Ubeitza. Okay, and an egg. Now, this is a classic maneuver. Once we see people doing that, now we're going to figure out a way to justify the practice. So it turns out, v'af b'medra, medrash, ba'malei mitzad alashon. So there is an allusion in a medrash to this practice. Rotzalomar, be'a udara, right? Which literally means the egg and the zroa, right? Kolomar ba'arachmana uprukinan bidra miramama. Which means, literally, that, come on, God rescued us how? Zroanetuya. Okay, Zroanetuya. So to, I guess, reflect that idea, that's how this comes about.
Outstretched hand.
Okay? But think about that for a second. Right. But you understand how that's not clear. There's no indication from the Gemara for this, nor from the Rambam. And the Meiri is just saying that this practice started. Now, I get why people do that. You see, this is where you guys said before, and people will notice the difference between Sli and Mevushal, but this is classic of what people do. In other words, it's not symbolic enough to have two pieces of meat. So what's more interesting? To bring these types of things here, like an egg and a shank bone. And then we have to figure out how to justify the practice in halacha. So that's what ended up happening, okay? And if you look at number four, the Magen Mishnah.
That's what they said, but is that why they really started doing it? Because that's what it symbolized? Or we don't know.
Right. It seems like the practice started. That's like an academic question. It's a good question. But the practice started, and then the Meiri comes in and tries to justify it. But notice he says, V'chen roi lasos, the ideal way to do it is two pieces of meat. That's clear. Okay? And then, whatever. The Magen Mishnah says as well that the minog in his area was also meat and egg. And if you look, let's skip down to number six.
Not
the Shulchan Aruch.
Everybody has, like, what did you say, the... chicken?
Oh, the shank bone. Right.
That's supposed to be the outstretched hand.
Yeah, but why do that? I'm saying you could just take two pieces of meat. Two pieces of meat.
But then
yes.
You get more questions from the kids if you have two different items that look clearly
we
different.
Never asked anything and about what's on that plate. That's all I can say.
But, I mean, that's the whole point, to get the kids to ask questions.
Who said it is?
Me.
Okay.
I don't know.
There's no question.
That's what I learned.
A defining theme in the Seder... No. A defining theme of the Seder is definitely Sheila Sabain, but you can't, I'm going to say this carefully. It doesn't mean you can sacrifice halachic practice to make them ask questions, like the Afikoman, right? Meaning, if you hold, like, remember, like the Rashbam, that your Afikoman is really the matzah shal mitzvah, then give your kids a different piece of matzah to hide. They can still ask a question. Hey, why am I hiding this matzah? It's odd. So, I'm not sure why it's a sacrifice. I'll give you another example. Bring out your two pieces of meat, and then put on there also, let's make it interesting, a tomato. Why is there a tomato on the plate? Oh, that's a good question. Let's talk about that.
But
you understand?
It's not cooked.
But my point is that the idea. In other words, they say Rav Chaim used to like always like wear a pot in his head or do something different every single year. It's not about you don't have to only use the things of the Seder to get them to ask questions. It's just to get them to ask questions. You understand?
Okay.
So look at number six. Okay. So the number six. This is Shulchan Aruch. Okay. So if you look at the second underline, the first underline part, it says Ushnei Tavshilin. You bring two cooked things. Echad zeichel pesach, vechad zeichel lechagiga, v'nagu b'basar v'beitza. So you already see now it's being consecrated into halachic practice that you have meat and egg. It's very interesting because he goes against the Rambam, okay? Rambam never mentioned anything about egg, but he holds meat and egg. And then he says, v'habasar, if you look at the last underlying part, v'habasar nagu sh'yez zroa, right? V'nagu sh'habasar yetzli ala gecholim. V'habetza tiyem uvushelos. And that's very interesting. So he says the minog was to roast the zroa. Okay, so then you're fulfilling your tzli basar, but the egg to cook. Now you can understand why the egg isn't such a problem because, again, if you want to say two pieces of meat, one representing the Korban Pesach, one the Chagiga, and you cook them differently, that's good. If you want to create a greater differentiation between the Korban Pesach and the Chagiga, use an egg. The only thing about the egg, though, is that the egg doesn't really has nothing to do with the Korban Chagiga. That's the only problem. So you got to come up with some other reason for why eggs, which they do. Okay? You understand? In other words, if you're going to use it, if we're going to do it, so I'm not sure why people roast the egg. In other words,
it should just be boiled.
Boil the egg, right? And then roast the meat, right? But I'm not sure why people, why not, I don't know why, I mean, I know it's a common practice that people roast the egg. I'm not sure why. It's clear what he says here.
Did.
He says, v'beitza tiyem v'shalos. Yeah, boil the egg up and you're done. Okay?
I'll save time.
But then he says, v'hua din sluya, v'chein og imireno. But then he says, but it's also the case if you want to roast it, and that's the minhag on our city. Okay? Meaning that people started roasting their eggs also. So again, if you roast your egg, okay, now at least you have a differentiation in substance between Korban Pesach and Korban Chagiga. But you're using the same derech of cooking. So I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what the advantage is. I mean, in other words, if you want to mimic the korbanos, either you can say two pieces of meat, one cooked, one roasted, or say have two different substances but roast both of them. You understand? In other words, either way you go, you're gonna get it. Is it because you're mimicking the way it was cooked? So then roast both things, egg and meat, or the substance, then roast one and cook the other, but have them both being pieces of meat. You know what I mean? You can play around. There's a lot of room to maneuver here.
What do you use?
Two pieces of meat. So I'm a Rambam guy.
Two different kinds of meat?
Two different kinds of meat, yeah.
And do you boil a second one? Like roast?
Yeah, I roast one. I grill it. And the other one I cook in like the stove, whatever, like, you know, that kind of thing. And then I eat them too. You know. Anyway, yes. Why not? Okay. Fine. And let's just skip down to source number 8 just to sum it up. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down, he says, V'nogu b'basar beitza. He says, "Ibai laso shnei minei basar echad sliv echad mevushal zecher lepesev chagiga." The shepherd dummy. Mishnah Berurah says the shepherd dummy means the ideal way to do it. The ideal way to do it is two pieces of meat, one roasted, one cooked. Ella de'afa beitza yatzah b'zeh. So look at that language. But rather, you still fulfill your requirement with an egg. Again, it seems like halachically the ideal way to do it is two pieces of meat, one cooked, one roasted. But you're also yotzeh if you use an egg. And then someone to write why they choose the egg, and we saw okay, kolomar bay rachman the mefarik yasna, which means the what do you call it, the idea of the hand and stuff like that. But listen to this: v'yeshe kasu mishum de osim anu zecher la avela space amikdash she'en anu yuchol mahakev korim pesach. Clever. Why use an egg? So we know again one of those strange customs we mentioned, erev Tisha B'Av, right? Another strange idea. It's clear from the Gemara that you can have one tafshil erev Tisha B'Av. So, like, I'll have a bowl of pasta, okay? Yummy. But this minhag came up to eat what on Erev Tisha B'Av?
An egg with ashes.
Right. Eggs with ashes.
Less second.
Right, but then you want to answer a question, because if it's a cooked egg, you're only supposed to have one cooked dish. So what you really do then is you have to have in mind that you're eating your, when you have, like, your meal, saying this is not my sunum afsekes. Right. But it's odd.
We usually bench between them.
Right, but it's weird to do, I'm just saying, it's weird. But okay, but whatever. But there's a history in halacha of eggs commemorating Avelis, okay? So this is a nifty pshat, meaning that why have an egg? So this, I hear the pshat. Why have an egg? If you have the egg, you remember that I can't have the korban today. And since an egg is a siman of Avelis, right, you should recognize that I'm frustrated that I have one piece of meat commemorating the korban Pesach, but I still have to remember that we don't have the base of Mikdash anymore, and the egg being a siman avelus recognizes that. The downside to the Mishnah Berurah's pshat is that we don't like injecting avelus things into yantiv. So it's like a siman for avelus and yantiv. But I hear what he's trying to say. Notice that's a great maneuver for try to rescue the practice of using an egg. Okay, but again, it's clear from the Mishnah Berurah that's not a chachila. Ideally, you should use two pieces of meat. I'm not saying you should go against your normal practice, but it's clear from the Mishnah Berurah. Two pieces of meat, yes.
Based on what you're saying, it really makes no sense to brown the egg.
To brown it, why?
Because you're talking about avelus, you know, it has nothing to do with carbon.
Right, so, right, okay, that's true. I mean, I guess so. I'm just saying that if you want to mimic the idea of how things were cooked in the Beis HaMikdash, so then roast both. But if you're going to use the egg and the meat, then roast both of them.
We always roast.
Right, but if you're going to mimic the substance, right, then to me, then you have substance... One substance roasted, right, meat, and the other substance meat cooked. But no one says you should roast both. That's the key. You understand? So you're going to, I mean, in my opinion, Rav Yosef said two pieces of meat, that's the best way to do it. However, I can see why an egg would be okay, and then you can come up with these, like, cute reasons that they bring down for justifying the egg.
What are you going to do, Viva?
These are problems.
Yeah, but you upset everybody because the egg is so important.
My sister was making say this year. It's not
right.
A problem.
Right.
I mean, I'm washing a lot of
clothes. I go away, so whatever they give me.
But I understand. There's a lot of, like, you know, and you definitely yotze with egg because remember in the Gemara, the sheet that brings down two vegetables, egg will be fine.
You know what you could do? You could leave it everything the way it is with the egg or whatever and just add, if you want, add the piece of meat and It's okay to add something.
No, but I would add the I would add the egg though.
No, the egg is already there.
No, no, no. So I would, put two pieces of meat down and put like the egg over here. Say, like, what's the egg doing there? Like, how's the egg? So that's like a brief summary of how this stuff evolved. But you see, it's fascinating. This is another great example of halacha sets out one course, right? And then what ends up happening? At some point in time, people start developing their own practice, right? And then they come along and try to justify it. This is a great example of such a thing. But if you go back to the, how it was in the Gemara, you really see two pieces of meat, Zecher Korban, Pesach, Zecher Korban Chagiga. And I'm not saying you should do it that way. I'm just saying you see why that seems to be the best way to do it, right? Even you agree with that, Valerie, right?
I agree.
Oh, but one second. See, but I'm not going to put this on tape.